You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
So I think there's a great value in understanding the culture, the language, the geography, and the politics of the biblical setting. Now, context in my dictionary is the statement that's or part of the text that surrounds a particular word and passage and often determines its meaning. It's the background of it. You see, our challenge, Rhett, yeah, is to understand the Bible in its historical and cultural context. We can't just think we're talking to 21st century North American people when we're working with indigenous people in Central and South America. Context is really important when it comes to understanding what the vision is behind the verses. For example, the cultures in the Christian scriptures, they're primarily two cultures. Mm-hmm. There's Jewish culture and there's Greek culture. Mm-hmm. The Greeks were very missionary in their outlook. They sought to bring their culture and capture the hearts and minds of the people in their world. You probably know this, but Alexander the Great, you know who his tutor was Aristotle, okay? And so when Alexander went out to conquer Asia and the Middle East, he had in the mind of spreading this superior Greek culture as he was conquering these nations. So when Alexander conquered a city, he brought Greek culture, which involved a gymnasium, athletic competitions, a theater with the drama, worship of the pantheon. These were the usual means of Alexander bringing his culture into an area. And it was very successful. Greek language and Greek culture spread over the entire Mediterranean world as a result of Alexander. But Jewish culture clashed heavily with the Greek culture. The worship of many gods, the morality, these were big issues. Mm-hmm. And for a Jewish boy to go to a Greek gymnasium and actually do athletic events meant that he would have to discard much of his biblical morality because athletic competitions were done in the nude. And for a Jewish culture, this was very forbidden. I mean, Jewish men, if you showed your knees, this was a very unusual sight. In the parable of the prodigal son, when the father goes running to his son, mm-hmm, all the people who are listening to the story knows that this is something special because older, respectful men did not run and show their legs. So this is a part of the story that the crowd would go, this guy was very excited to see his son, okay? You know, when these Jewish boys got involved in being part of Greek culture and mm-hmm, going to places like Caesarea and competing in the athletic competitions, obviously they stood out. Mm-hmm. Why did they stand out? If they're doing competitions,
because the Greeks were nude.
They were nude, and the Jewish boys were circumcised. Right, so they stood out in the crowd. Rhett, there is archaeological evidence that there was there's actually a device that has been found to reverse circumcisions in the first century, meaning a device that actually pulls the remaining foreskin of the penis back over to try and make these Jewish boys look like the Greek guys they were competing against. Mm. Okay? Religious Jews, they really lived apart from the Hellenistic Jews or the Greeks and Romans. They wouldn't even go into a town where there was a pagan temple. And for many years, historians have wondered why Peter and James and John left their home of Bethsaida and came to Capernaum to start their fishing business. Because you don't leave your home. And archaeologists just 2 decades ago found in Bethsaida a Roman temple that was built in 31, same year that Jesus was starting and doing his ministry. And in fact, the temple was built in honor of the emperor's mother, Julia. And in fact, the town was named for this period, Julia, and not Bethsaida. And so this would explain, how did the Zebedee brothers and father come and leave their home of Bethsaida and come to Capernaum? Now we have the answer to that, okay? But understanding Greek culture really helps us understand the scriptures.
Did you know they recently found they were trying to ascertain or confirm that Pontius Pilate actually existed?
There's been now references found with his name on it.
About a month ago. Isn't that amazing? It's actually chiseled into the wall of this, whatever it was they found.
So the more that we understand things, the plainer the message comes. Now, Paul says in one of his most famous verses that's repeated often at weddings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Okay? Now, we understand this to mean that if Paul doesn't have love and he's exercising spiritual gifts, he's just making a lot of noise. Okay, that's kind of a common modern 21st century interpretation. But to Paul's audience, who were very familiar with the conventions of Greek drama, they understood exactly what he was saying.
What was he saying?
Well, in Greek drama, you had the actors standing up on the stage, and they usually held masks in front of their faces to demonstrate whatever emotion they were showing. And the area in front of the stage, which is that circular area that was called the orchestra, this is where the dancers and those that spoke the parts stood and spoke out the parts of the dialogue. And many of the plays of Sophocles and Euripides and the others dealt with the conflicts between mankind and the gods. And so the gods, when their part was spoken, the actor, the hypocrite actor, would lean into a big brass drum and speak the part of Zeus, and it would sound thunderous and majestic. At the same time, another actor would drop a piece of copper on the pavement and make the sound of thunder, which is a convention that still happens in modern theater. So Paul says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I have become a klakos ekon, which is that metal drum that were used by Greek actors to simulate the voice of a god, and I've become a cymbalon alazon, a loud piece of copper that's dropped to make a sound of simulating thunder. What Paul's saying is, if I don't have love and I speak with tongues of angels, I'm just simulating being a Christian. I'm just like those actors, those hypocrites, the ones that keep most people away from church because they think we Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. We just mouth the words, but we really don't act. We're really not Christians.
Now that's worth really remembering. Say that again, the first and second. The second one is the cymbal.
The first one is the sounding brass. That's
right, the sounding brass, which is something that the theater used then, and you would speak into a drum.
Now, here's a picture of Lara with Michaela and Moselle, and we're at the in Beth Shan.
Yeah.
Notice the front of the stage has those indentations. Do you notice that?
The who what? Let me show them. Can you show that to them?
Oh, I'm just trying to show it to you, okay. But there's indentations in front of the stage where these drums were. Right?
He's bringing them in.
He's bringing them in by his power.
He's bringing them in by his glory.
Cops on the beat, homeless on the street, corrupt bankers running from the heat, moms and dads, drunks on gin, empty politicians, he's bringing them in.
He's bringing them in by his power, he's bringing them in by his glory, he's bringing them in by spirit, by unfolding his holy story. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin. He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory.
Wall Street kings, Alaskan lumberjacks, hot dog vendors and big fat cats, rock stars and fancy cars, pornographic queens, orthopedic surgeons, people with broken dreams.
He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in by his spirit, by unfolding his holy story. If the time is the hour to walk the walk and live his glory, it's the time, it is the hour to unfold his holy story. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin.
The harvest is white, the workers they are few. Is the voice of the Lord God Almighty calling to you?
He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. It is the time, this is the hour. Tell the world his holy story. He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in by his spirit.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.